B-Pod Studios.
These guys know how to connect with you about Boston sports.
This may feel strong, but you people are stupid.
OMG. It's Felger and Maz, 95 The Sports Hub.
Let's pick up hour two with something Murray just reported in the update. Bob and Needham, why don't you weigh in on that? Bob, what's your question for us?
That's not a question. It's just a comment. I mean, if it's contingent on Brady asking him back, Brady's the same one that got the Jim Jones.
Let me just, no one knows what you're talking about. Rob Gronkowski's, according to Mike Florio, Pro Football Talk, the chances of him unretiring are at 40%, according to Florio this morning. And that it's contingent on what, Murray, you said?
Tom Brady reaching out and making a plea.
Okay, Bob and Needham, I'm sorry, go ahead.
So this is the same guy that got him hooked up with the Jim Jones of nutrition and training, Guerrero. So if this is the case, it's 100%. He got him hooked up with that screwball that can cure cancer, apparently. So I would say it's 100%, wouldn't you?
Okay. Yes, if I were betting, I think he's coming back. But how do you feel about this, Maz, that we're not even through halfway through July and it's at 30%? No, it's at 40%. Today it's at 10%. No, but today's actual number is 40%.
Drive me crazy. Drive me bat bleep crazy. Because, again, so my point is, how do you plan your season this way? If you're Bill, like, and again, maybe Bill knows, but if you're planning the season, are you planning for Gronk comeback or are you planning for not comeback? Which one? Whatever I just said. As like, you couldn't get the words out.
No, I got it.
But what, like, how do you plan for that if you don't really know? I just think it's, you assume he's not coming back and that's it. If he shows up, great. I ignore it. I can't stand it, the fact that people are planning for him coming back. I hate it. It drives me bananas. Absolutely freaking bananas.
And it's, again, they'll be fine. I mean, the consolation prize is the greatest tight end in the history of the game returns to your team in the middle of the year, so Bill will live. But this is not what Bill believes.
No, there's no way it could be what he believes. Again, maybe he gets overruled by Brady and Kraft.
I mean, this is something bozo teams do. That they let their best player yank them back and forth on, am I playing, am I not playing, 10%, 40%, 30%. Well, if the quarterback asks me and playing all these games and the media and social media, I mean, that's like a Jet move. It's not a Patriot move, but again, it ain't going to matter here.
So now, again, look, would he help? Sure. If he's, you know, remotely the same guy, sure. But I'll tell you, on some level, I look at it and say, I don't want him back. I don't. I would rather just...
Level is that?
Okay, when I say... Because I just want to turn the page and move on. That's all. I don't want it hanging over my head and affecting decision-making and being a distraction. I want it nice and clean. He's done. We're moving on. We got to find a way to win without Gronk. To me, it becomes much easier that way. You eliminate the distraction of it, and you're able to focus all your energy on finding a way to score without Rob Gronkowski. Maybe it's developing N'Keal Harry. Maybe Demaryius Thomas or Dontrell Inman. Take your pick. Maurice Harris. I don't know. But whatever it is, I like the idea of, you know what? No, we're done with Gronk. We're going to move on from Gronk, and we're going to find a new way to get the ball in the end zone for the next 10 years, 5 years, whatever. Pick whatever number you want. To me, it's just cleaner that way.
We've got Jim in Cambridge on the NFL coaches. Go ahead, Jim.
Yeah, I'm chiming in. Your top five is right on the button, and I think it's perfect, and there's no arguing. But I would like to just say, you know, you're weighing against how certain coaches did against Belichick. What about what Garrett did at Dallas against people that won Super Bowls? Garrett beat New Orleans when they won the Super Bowl. Garrett beat Seattle when they won the Super Bowl. And Garrett destroyed New Orleans last year, and they should have gone to the Super Bowl. He also went 12-4 with rookies with Dak Elliott. And he also did a good job coaching with Jerry Jones as the owner. Thank you for your opinion, and go on forward.
Okay. Go forward, Mouse.
It's got to be a Cowboys fan.
Okay. Dak Elliott?
Yeah. I think I'm sorry.
I know what he meant.
I think Jason Garrett sucks.
Bozo.
I think he's like...
He's a puppet. That's the only reason he still has the job, because Jerry Jones could push him around.
To me, that's really what it's about. You know, the owner wants control of the team on every level, and so he's got a guy that will do his bidding, basically.
Chew gum and clap. That's his job.
I mean, I think he is the classic, like, bland, middle-of-the-road coach. That's all he'll ever be. And until you get someone in there with some balls, the Cowboys are never going to win.
Steve in Providence on the schedule. Hi, Steve.
Hey, good afternoon. Listen, I think the 18-game will work
if they tweak the schedule a little bit better. If they give the players an extra bye week, like AFC gets up week 5, NFC gets up week 6, week 11 AFC, week 12 NFC, and then you make every team play 2 games on Thursday, which gives them a 10-day schedule off, no short week, and every team plays 2 games on Monday, so they have 10 days off with no time off. With 10 days off, not a short week again.
Steve, thank you for the call. This is not a personal thing that you're about to hear, but Maz, go ahead.
Here we go.
Go ahead.
Here we go. Yeah, Felga, I don't like the 18-game schedule, but I do have a plan for how it can work. I think what you should do is play half a game in week 6 and then play half a game in week 13. So the two halves are one game, but you don't take time off. It's like having a bye. And everyone should play twice on Thursday. Are you kidding me with this crap?
We're not taking proposals. This was an actual proposal put forward by owners, meaning your owner, Robert Kraft, and Jerry Jones, and the NFL owners actually put this on the table for the players. Demaryius Smith, the NFLPA head, has rejected it. Okay, so this is an actual thing. We're not going to pull things out of our rectum. This is what's actually been proposed, so this is the only thing we're going to talk about.
I mean, you got to play 2 division games anyway, Felga, right? So what if you played an extra quarter the week you have to play the Bills? So you play the first quarter of the second game.
Let me try this one more. Try this one more time. Tom in Londonderry. Hi, Tom.
Oh, God, I think I just got stupider listening to that last call. I'll make it quick, Mike. I'm one of those football junkies. I love watching football. I'm one of those fans, by the time February rolls around and the Super Bowl is about a week away, I'm like, what the hell am I going to do with myself for the next 5 to 6 months?
Thank you.
So you would think I would want 18-game seasons. Wrong. I don't want that, because the way that the league has gone the last 5 years, let alone the last 10 years, all the things that you just talked about, Mike, the gap between coaches, the stupidity across the league, the more influence the refs now have, replay, more and more. I'm sick of more. I'm more about the quality of the product than the quantity of the product. Even though the Patriots lost to the Eagles the other year in the Super Bowl, of course I'm pissed. They're my team. I'm not one of these Patriots bobos, though. I sat there and was like, you know what? That was a great game. That was a competitive game. A lot of back and forth. A coach who put his balls on the table, like you said, in for Bill, and said, come at me, I'm not afraid of you, I'm going to coach my ass off and beat you with a backup quarterback, and he did. There needs to be more competitiveness. There needs to be more, quality at head coach across the league, competitiveness across the league, more balance, if you will. You look at, after the Patriots, you've probably got 1 or 2 teams that are second tier that may have a shot at them. You could probably say Kansas City or Los Angeles. Your opinion, whatever. That's my opinion. And then the rest of the league, it's hot garbage. It's
okay,
hot.
Let me just stop you, Tom. You're speaking Maz's side of the street there.
I mean, again, I just think you end up diluting the product. And I think the NFL's got, like, the perfect setup right now. I've said this a million times. You can watch the whole league basically in 1 week. There are 16 games. Every single one of them means something. And, again, 18 might be the same. I'm just telling you, somewhere there's a line. And sooner or later, they're going to hit it. Where you say, well, that's too many games now.
Yeah, it just cheapens it.
Yeah, it doesn't work now. It doesn't work the way it did before, and I don't have to watch every game like I did before because I can blow off week 14 against...
But on February 14th, you have something to do with it.
Okay, so again, that part I get. I like the idea of filling that gap in the schedule, too. Is there a way to do it without, start a week later in September and then, add another bye week or something? I don't know. Like, is there a way to do it to carry us later
in
the year?
Yes, of course there is. Of course there is.
So that's all, because I just think when you introduce more games, and I've done some thinking about this recently, it's a topic for another day, the whole concept of load management pisses me off to no end, okay? So, like, it means there are too many games. If you can't play them, there are too many games. Like, that's how I look at it. So I don't want football to go down that road. I like it too much the way it is.
We've got your buddy Jake in Boston. Go ahead, Jake.
Hey, 2 things. Number one, Tony, you're right. The schedule's perfect. 16 games. The reason why the Pats had that bye week last year was a week 1 win against Houston. When you factor in tiebreakers, playoff bye weeks, cross-divisional play, it's perfect. Don't touch it. The only way I would consider touching it would be is if you went to a 17-game schedule and you did the other NFL fantasy, which is you had every team go overseas for one game, and that way everyone has to deal with the same flaw in the schedule, which is the NFL's desire to go to London. And if you did that, you don't have to go to London. You could go to Beijing and Tokyo and all that kind of thing. And that's how the NFL gets to $25 billion in revenue, because there are 1 billion Chinese people that they could go and cater to with that plan. There's another 100 million in Tokyo. There are more international consumers, and you're going to make more money that way than going and catering to your domestic television partners by two more weeks of added watered-down games.
Can we stop you there? This is all about the league getting $25 billion a year in revenue.
Sure, yeah.
Okay, so obviously it's about greed, Murray, 100%, of course. But how does the fan win as well? Does the fan win? And when I say fan, I don't care about the Chinese fan, all due respect.
Sure.
I care about
the domestic fan.
Us.
Yeah.
Do we benefit by playing a game in Beijing every year?
No, in fact, it would hurt the product.
Okay, I think we do benefit from two extra weeks of football, though, and filling out February with football. That, to me, I think is a win. I do.
Well, it's always been a dream of Brady's to play in China. So, you know, I would never want to deprive Tom Terrific of that opportunity to go play in Beijing.
Okay, it's a reentry Tuesday for these two fellas. Murray and Maz, we're getting baked on. Playing golf in the annual Who's Your Caddy Classic for WBZ yesterday. Another home run for Maz and his charity. So they're getting reacquainted with all the stuff we hit on yesterday and from the weekend. Want their NBA thoughts. I don't think you were there to weigh in on the Westbrook to Houston deal.
It happened right after we left.
Where that puts the Celtics in the landscape of the league, all of this. We'll get to those items with you right after these words.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
You're listening to Felger.
Doesn't always have to be ha-ha-hee-hee.
Oh, love it.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Okay, again, reentry Tuesday for Maz and Murray here. They were off yesterday. Your thoughts on Westbrook to Houston and the landscape of the NBA? Now that I think everything is settled, Chris Paul may go somewhere. So other than that, I don't know what other shoes there are left to drop. I think pretty much everything is musical chairs is over. The league is the league. Your thoughts on Westbrook and the league?
So to me, Westbrook and Harden together is going to be a spectacular failure. That is going to be absolutely awesome to watch. Those two a-holes fighting over the ball every night. And at the beginning, it'll work because they want to make it work. Somewhere along the line, it's going to get ugly and those two selfish weasels or dinks are going to end up fighting all year because they both want the ball.
Okay, so you think Westbrook Harden is going to be an epic fail.
Colossal.
Okay.
I can't see how that's going to work. Do you realize, and I saw some of this on ESPN last week, I was trying to look up numbers now online. They are the two most dominant ball-dominant players in the league.
Yeah, yeah.
Two most ball-dominant players in the league.
You know who I think is third? I think it was Walker last year. Kemba Walker.
Might have been.
I think he was up there.
Yeah, might have been. But at least when you look at Kemba Walker, he had nowhere else to go.
And, well, anyway, you put two of those guys together.
How do you, who's going to?
If you're playing street ball at Rucker Park 2-on-2, then, you know, they're maybe the best duo that you could find. But I'm with you. And anyone else, I don't know how anyone else could feel otherwise.
Oh, you don't
it's
know how.
It's one ball, two ball hogs.
You don't know how. Two gals, one cup. You don't know how anyone could feel otherwise. I give you the vampire himself.
Oh, boy.
The Dark Knight, Adam Jones, on yesterday. He did this routine that I've been seeing on ESPN. It's no longer about a big three. It feels like just superstars pairing up. So it's like best duos now.
Sure.
It's like that feels like it's more of a duo league than a big three league. So ESPN ranked the top duos in the NBA. I asked Jones, our hoop expert, to do the same. They're throwing it up right now on NBC Sports Boston. He's got Harden and Westbrook ahead of Kawhi Leonard and Paul George. Okay, so if you're listening on the radio, number one is LeBron and Davis. Number two, Durant, Kyrie Irving. Number three, Harden, Westbrook. Number four, Kawhi, Paul George. Number five, Curry, Thompson. Okay? Is that how you would do it, Maz? And
no.
Oh, by the way, if you're curious about the Celtics, Page two gives you number 14, Kemba and Tatum, and I don't even know who you would consider the number two. Would it be the two max guys in Kemba Walker and Gordon Hayward? Does that sort of tell you what their problem is, that they don't even really have a duo, or all these other teams have duos, et cetera, et cetera? But, Vinny, if you just want to throw up page one again, because Maz is contemplating this thing.
So, look, Harden and Westbrook, to me, I don't dispute the talent of those two guys. I just think the two of them can't play together. Like, and, you know, Westbrook can't shoot, Harden can. There are some differences there. I'd put those guys, like, no higher than fifth, maybe even sixth. I think Lillard and McCollum are dynamite. Those two guys, that might be the second best backcourt in the league, for crying out loud, when you really get down to it. Third? With one ball?
It's way too high.
Those two are going to kill each other.
I wouldn't have them in my top five. No shot.
Let me ask you this. Would you rather have Embiid and Simmons or Kemba Walker and Jason Tatum?
I love Embiid. Simmons, I can't.
Simmons
stand.
Can't shoot. I would I take can't. Kemba Walker and
Me
Tatum.
Me too.
Yeah, Kemba Walker and Tatum. I'm not going to have anti-Celtic bias here or anything like that.
So Jones has that Philly thing, seven, and you 14, and one of the two in the Philly group can't shoot, cannot shoot, will not shoot. How do you do that?
So I love Embiid. I mean, I love the profile of a dominant big man.
He's sort of a
dog.
Bit of a puss.
He is a dog. He's a dog. He is. I got this thing for big guys. I can't help it. So, like, I look at a guy like that who can score around the basket, shoot threes. When he's engaged, the guy can take the game over. So I'm partial to guys like that. But he's got the Celtics way too low. Shocker.
He has Jones. Kawhi and George fourth?
Yeah,
They're number one.
He had them fourth behind Harden and Westbrook.
I might even have LeBron Davis third.
I have LeBron Davis second to me. I mean, granted, you have to hope that LeBron is better than he was last year, not dealing with injuries. But, you know, considering the upside, they're number two. Curry Thompson for me would be three because they've done it and won titles. Giannis, Middleton, Mike Conley, and Donovan Mitchell. I'm surprised he doesn't have them up there.
Where's Durant Irving? Because and we're treating everyone's healthy. So Klay Thompson's on there, Durant's
second,
on there.
Second or third.
Okay, yeah. So if we're treating it like everyone's healthy, then yeah, probably third then.
I told you, I'm worried about sort of the aging thing on LeBron.
Me too.
I am. I'm worried about that. And I also think that, I mean, I wanted Anthony Davis here. He's a dynamic player. But in that sort of setting, I can see him like getting psyched out by it.
Okay, reentry Tuesday for these guys. They had gone off the air by the time Al Horford went on and spoke in Philadelphia. He had a comment that sort of got your attention, Miss?
Yeah, so the one comment he made about winning being a priority for him. And I heard that one and I said, well, wait a minute. Like, he chose Philly because at this stage of his career, winning was a priority. And I look at it and say, well, wait a minute. Philly just lost J.J. Redick. They lost Jimmy Butler. The Celtics lost Kyrie Irving. So Horford, in effect, is making his decision based on the young players that remained in each market. So it's Jaylen Brown, Jason Tatum, or Joel Embiid, Ben Simmons. And I think what Horford effectively is saying there is, I don't want any part of the Celtics young guys anymore.
Scary. It's a scary thought. Now, he could just be saying that.
Sure.
You say that when you go.
When you go for the money.
Yeah, you never go to a place saying, I came here because of the money. But in this case, I don't think it was fully the money because it wasn't all that much money. He's made $160 million in his career. And so I think money was a factor, but not the factor. So, I mean, I'm just saying that as a qualifier. You know, everyone says, I love our chances to win here, and that's why I'm here. That's just sort of a boilerplate thing to say. But in his case, I think there were factors beyond money, and those would scare the crap out of me if I'm the Celtics. Is it the mix of young kids? Is it the coach and the mix of young kids? Is it the coach and Gordon Hayward? And that relationship that rubbed a lot of players the wrong way, is that Horford's problem? Does he want out of Boston? Does he want out of the Celtics thing? Like that, those are the things I think are on the table with that move beyond the money because it wasn't that much more money that they were offering.
So again, to me, Horford and Stevens feel like-minded. And when I say like-minded, they both...
Professional.
Yeah, best, strategic.
Button-down professional.
Cerebral, all of it. Like they are thinking, he's a thinking man's coach. He's a thinking man's player. Right? Horford's the player, obviously. Stevens, the thinking man's coach. So you look at the two of them and you say, they feel similar to me. Like, I don't think there's a problem there with Horford and the coach. And Stevens himself, in his comments about the two players after they left, Irving and Horford, sounded much more glowing about Horford than he did about Irving.
Okay. I think on paper and, you know, from 10,000 feet, Horford and Stevens would be a fit. I agree with that. That's what I was just trying to say. But, however, who knows? Maybe he didn't like the way Stevens handled those kids. Maybe he didn't like the way Stevens handled the Hayward thing. Maybe he looks at Stevens and says, I like the guy, but he's really not cut out to manage this sort of thing. I don't know.
Okay, as opposed to who? Brett Brown?
He was praising Brett Brown the other day.
Yeah.
Hold on. Jimmy's inching up to the mic. Go ahead. What do you believe?
Maybe Horford was promised more power forward minutes and got stuck at center.
So in which case, he holds it against the coach.
Big one.
Yep.
Huge one. Okay, he wants to play the four, not the five in Philly. That's an automatic with Embiid there. Here, they promise him to play the four, but he's always sliding over and could have held that against the coach.
Sure, and I don't rule that out either, that maybe he looks at Simmons and Embiid as every bit the puds that he looked at Brown and Tatum, but he said, but at least that guy's a big guy and I can play the four. I don't know, but to me, ultimately, he would rather be with their young guys than your young guys.
He'd rather be in their situation than your situation. That's how I look at it. I don't know if it's young guys. There's something.
Yeah.
There's
I just think the young there. Guys are all that were left. What's left?
Well, the coach, his role,
yeah.
The climate.
I think it's a player's league. I think it's about who you're playing with. That's what I think. Because the coach is disposable.
Not here, he's not.
Well,
not here, he's not. It's his program.
In that league, generally.
But not here.
Fair. I still think that, I don't know, I think Jaylen Brown irritated the crap out of people. And I think Horford looked at a guy like Jaylen Brown and said, it's just not going to work with you and veteran players. So he said, I'm out.
Okay, there's your NBA reset. Your reaction and some help on the conversation right after Murray's update. Don't go.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
Felger and Mass.
I love it.
You were right, Mass.
I just keep loving it more and more.
Bore my listeners to death.
I finally feel alive.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Sounds good.
Like I said, let's get some help with this conversation. We'll get to you in a second. But joining us now on the Volkswagen Dealers Expert Hotline is none other than Bob Ryan, the commissioner of basketball. Bob Ryan joins us again on the horn to talk some hoops. Also, we'll get to something that he's doing again this year, a great endeavor for the Action for Boston Community Development, which is hosting their Hoop Dreams event in September. Bob will once again be involved and a co-host with Doc Rivers and Brad Stevens. It's at the Auerbach Center September 3rd. So, great cause as always. Bob, thanks for taking the time. How you doing?
Robert?
Hey, hello, Tone. Hello, Michael. I'm doing fine, guys.
So here's a generic question. Was this a good offseason for the NBA? Did you like it? Do you think the league's a better place because of it?
I have to accede to the modern reality of what constitutes success for teams. And it is viewed as a giant success because they stole the headlines away from other sports, not just baseball, but even football, which is a remarkable thing. And they think so. So people who matter that they're dominating the conversation, it's become a 12-month-a-year discussion thing, fine. Now we can take a deep breath and when they start bouncing the balls in September and then see what the actual reality of it all is. But I think that you have to feel that if you're Adam Silver, you like the idea that people were talking about basketball as much as they were.
Okay, how about when we actually see the teams roll it out in October and November? It feels to me, Bob, that there are more teams that have a chance to win a championship than any time I can remember. In fact, I'm not sure. I don't know who's going to win the championship, and usually I do. Isn't that a good thing?
Yes, because we've had a run now that is over, the dominance of the Warriors, their five-year run or so, in which you had to start with them and then figure out everybody else. Now we know that they're falling back in the pack, and there were several teams in the West, and not only that, there's several teams that can win in the West, but there are probably going to be two or three teams that will not make the playoffs in the West that are going to be pretty good teams. The East, not quite so much, we know that, but the East has at least been opened up to where there's some discussion now. Is it Milwaukee? Is it Philadelphia? Certainly Toronto will not be able to defend its championship. We know that. Is Indiana going to be a sneaky good team? And we have a team here in Boston that I think is going to be better than people think.
Well, how far have they fallen, Bob? Hit on that. How far have the Celtics fallen?
Well, they fall into where they are. I think the the Vegas references are there, 25-1, whereas maybe a year ago it would have been 7 or 8-1. They're not a top tier. You have to draw a line. They're in the second tier of teams now in the East, whereas a year ago at this time there were four clear teams that had a chance to win, and they were one of them, along with Toronto, Milwaukee, and Philadelphia. And now they're not on that level at the moment, at least on paper right now. I do think that there's certain contingencies that could make them put them on that level, one of which is the complete return to all-star form of Gordon Hayward, which I actually anticipate.
So, Bob, are you as disenchanted with Kyrie Irving as everyone else, or would you have preferred they keep him?
I was very willing not only to drive him to the airport, but to stop at Dunkin' Donuts and buy his coffee on the way to the airport. I'm exasperated with him. I know what a transcendent physical talent he is. I know that he goes to the rim at his size as well as anyone ever has. I know all that. And I know that he can be a tremendous player, but I just think the drama with him I don't need, and I don't think the Celtics need. And I have two words of advice for the Brooklyn Nets and their fans. Caveat emptor, or as we said around the block in Trenton, buyer beware.
Okay, but if Kyrie had wanted to come back, are you saying that you would have espoused, you would have encouraged the Celtics to let him go?
Well, I thought it all was interesting because I didn't know that they were going to get Walker. You know, this before or after they got that they know that there's a chance to replace him with a very good ball player who doesn't bring drama. What I thought at the time, let's back up pre-Walker, is that how do we rein Terry Rozier back in? How do we get him back? Can we get him back to where he was a year ago at this time, coming off his playoffs when he was really a good player? He's always been a good defender. He averaged 16 points a game. He made threes. They went where they went with him. And we know that he was a pouting, you know, sourpuss all year long. And then we sounded off on the way out the door. And I wondered, can we get him back? This is before. So, yeah, I would have been happy to live with Terry Rozier and not Kemba Walker if they could have, you know, reeled him back in, and I didn't know whether that was possible or not.
Bob, you're not a person who believes that Walker is better than Irving, are you?
No, but I think he's good enough to win with at a high level. I think he doesn't better than Irving. Look, I said Irving's talent is tremendous, but we saw the effect. His personality is a peculiar personality. You know, to this moment, guys, we still don't know. He has never categorically said, this is why I got out of Cleveland. We all think we know why he got out of Cleveland. And he may have said so in so many words, but he never said the words. And I think this means that this is a guy, he's searching for something. He doesn't even know what it is. I don't think he knows what's going to make him happy. I make one prediction for you. He's going to play for four or five teams, and each one, upon his departure, will say, God, we couldn't figure that guy out.
Bob Reining, Brian Bryan, again, joins us on the Volkswagen Dealers Expert Hotline. Why do you think Horford left the Celtics, Bob? And is that a more concerning decision to you than Kyrie?
Well, much more, because I first of all, I bear him no ill will. I don't bear Kyrie Wilson ill will either, but I don't care what happens to Kyrie. I don't care what he does with his life. But Al Horford's an exemplary guy. You want every team gets better in both ways, both on and off the court, the minute he signs up with you. So the Sixers I hate seeing him. If he's going to leave, God, don't go to a rival. You know, don't go to a division rival, let alone I don't know why he left. Maybe he made a decision that he accepted. He just looked at the landscape all right away and said, maybe he has a real profound admiration for Simmons's game, which I don't. Maybe he does. I think he has a very high evaluation on Embiid. Maybe it's simple as that. He didn't want to play center much, and he was going to have to play more five, if you want to even call it that anymore. He wanted to play that position such as it is in the league anymore. And he doesn't have to do that in Philadelphia, except on a very rare occasion. He's got Embiid. I'm going to stick with that. And he looked at a pragmatic business decision for him. And at this point in his career, where can he accomplish what he would do with the least personal stress? And he seemed to think it was going to be Philadelphia rather than Boston. I don't think he was unhappy in Boston. I just think he's going to be happier in Philadelphia.
Bob, I got to ask you about this only because we were just talking about it. But Westbrook and Harden together in Houston, like, and for all I know, those guys are nuclear physicists. Okay, I have no idea. On the floor, I think they're two of the dumbest players I've ever seen, and they're both ball hogs, and it feels like a disaster waiting to happen with those two.
It's going to be fascinating. You know, we've had a history of big clashing talents being put together to see what happened. You go all the way back to Monroe and Frazier, and it worked because Monroe made a sacrifice. It's going to be fascinating because we have – this is Harden's team now, and here comes Westbrook. Is Westbrook going to acknowledge that this is Harden's team and that he's got to take a step back psychologically even, let alone on the court? Is he capable of that at this stage of his career? I don't know. I don't know at all. And the other thing, people say, well, they played together before. Well, guess what? Not really, because this James Harden isn't the James Harden that Westbrook played with. He was a sub. Now James Harden is a guy who thinks he's the best player in the world and you know, has got credentials, certain credentials. Westbrook, meanwhile, arrives with this triple-double thing, which I think is counterproductive to and gets in the way of him being a better player if he's obsessed every night with one thing only and getting a triple-double. And I say this, guys, the only reason I think it may work, maybe, is because they got the right coach. If there's anybody that can accommodate offensive genius, if you will, that knows how to handle offense and that is wedded to offense and will figure out a way maybe to play to their better nature, it's Mike D'Antoni.
Okay, Bob, one more quick one. Have you given up on your Boston Red Sox yet?
I've given up in terms of, on the division? Yeah, of course. I'm preparing myself for that for one game in the end of September, if that. I haven't given up on the team being able to accomplish that, getting one of the wild cards. I'm not unhappy. I'm disappointed, but you know, I'd like to think I'm a pragmatist. I am so satisfied with what's going on since 2004 and having these satisfying years that we've had in 04, 7, 13, and 18. I'm speaking as a season ticket holder now, as you know, and that I'm not greedy. I'm disappointed. I like to see them play better.
Who do you blame?
Well, I think the bullpen thing has to be right at the feet of Dombrowski, number one. But he's not responsible for Mookie. Although Mookie's having a strange year, he's leading the league in runs scored. He's still a terrific player, but he's not the player he was a year ago yet. But Dombrowski and the bullpen thing, I understand the need, the idea that Kimbrel, we saw the signs of slippage, fine, but you got to replace him, and he didn't do it.
Bob, tell us about the ABCD event that you're hosting.
All right, let me back up with this. We started, I would say we, because about 20 years ago, and I have I had a personal affiliation due to my good friend Bobby Elias with the organization, which is the anti-poverty agency that has served Boston fantastically for 50 years. They got a fundraiser going 20 years ago called Field of Dreams, in which teams, corporate teams, paid money to go to Fenway Park and play softball on Fenway Park, and it became a big hit, huge hit in the fundraiser. When Doc Rivers came to Boston as coach, I put him in touch with Bobby Elias, and three of us had dinner one night, and this is not what the goal was, and I sat down at dinner that night, but here's what came out of it. I just wanted those guys to get together, and I thought there was a good potential partnership there. Doc is sitting there, and he says, now, I understand you guys have this thing called Field of Dreams with softball. What if we do this thing at the Garden? What if we get the Garden and do the same thing with basketball? We get corporate teams to come to the Garden, and I don't know whether he named it Hoop Dreams or Bob did, or that, but we came out with Hoop Dreams. Thus was born Hoop Dreams at the Garden. Now, and it's become another wonderful fundraiser, and companies can sign up. By the way, there are some openings left for September 3rd. $10,000 is the fee for the company. Co-ed, by the way, if you want. Let me make that clear. And I can give you a name and number before we leave to call. But this year and this year only, it's at the Auerbach Center because of the renovation of the Garden. The Garden has been tremendous host, as has the Red Sox. They stepped up and hosted this. People come. They have a great time. They've loved playing at the Garden, and they're going to love playing at the opulent, the Taj Mahal of practice centers, right, where the Celtics practice every day. Brad, has embraced this as well. And when we have the night, we have the games, and at the conclusion of the games, I conduct a Q&A with Brad and Doc, these two wonderful guys, and we have just a good old-fashioned hoop talk, and it's a great time is had by all.
Okay, tell how people can get involved. The number or website?
Liz Gillis, G-I-L-L-I-S, at ABCD, 617-348-6244. She'd love to hear from you, Mr. Businessman or company, and I'm telling you, your employees will thank you.
Give me a website.
Oh, that's a ABCD, I'm sure, and I am failing in my duty.
Okay, Bob, you know what we'll do on 985thesportshub.com. We'll put up details on that.
Guys, I really appreciate you having this. Is a tremendous cause. This organization has served people, served Boston so well for 50 years. I really appreciate the chance to talk about it.
Bob, it was great to talk to you. Wonderful landline. Take care of yourself.
Okay. right.
See you, Bob.
See you, Bob.
Bye-bye.
Bob Ryan joining us here on the Volkswagen Dealers Expert Hotline. Promise to your phones right after this.
This is Felger and Mass on 98.5.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
I hate jokes. We're not taking jokes.
That joke's blue.
It's Felger and Mass, 98.5 The Sports Hub.
All right, back to your phones. As promised, some NBA stuff there with Maz and Bob Ryan. Thanks again to him for taking the time to join us. Rocco and Saugus has some issues with that duo ranking that we were doing. Go ahead, Rocco.
Well, absolutely. Yesterday, your friend there, Mr. Jones, I wish he was here on your radio show today so he could defend himself. It's just that he had he better take Westbrook over Klay Thompson. I mean, facts are, listen, Klay Thompson, game 6, 2016, 42, you know me, on Oklahoma, and you know me, they could have gone to the finals, but they choked. There was a game in March, Klay Thompson had Westbrook on lock. Westbrook shot for 1 for 20. 1 for 20, guys, you know what I mean? And the Warriors won their game. But who did Oklahoma lose to in the first round of the playoffs this season? Portland, right?
Yeah.
Right? They didn't lose to Portland. What happened there with Klay Thompson, no Kevin Durant in that game? Swept. Where was CJ McCollum and Damian Lillard? Nowhere to be found because Klay Thompson had them in lock. Your boy needs to get his facts right before he talks about Klay Thompson. I spent my $18 a month for the Golden State Warriors games. I know everything about the Warriors, all right?
Okay, but it's subjective. Would you rather have Westbrook or Klay Thompson?
Klay Thompson.
Yeah, I would too.
Why?
Shooter. I think Klay Thompson is a smarter, more efficient player. And so you want to tell me Westbrook can do more things? Yeah. What things? But I would say that Klay Thompson's skill set's more valuable.
And how about the toughness, too? And granted, I was one of the people that thought he might have been faking. But when he blew out his knee and then came back to hit those free throws in the finals,
yeah.
Like that,
tough.
That kid's got balls. Russell Westbrook, it's more about flash than anything else.
I'll tell you where I underestimated Westbrook. He plays his ass off. He competes his ass off. I just don't think he's all that smart a player. And, again, I was having this out with Jones last week, too. The triple doubles, I couldn't give a rat's ass about the triple double. The triple double is maybe the most overrated stat in sports.
I'll tell you, that Jones produces a lot of content, doesn't he?
Oh, he can pump it out.
But because it's just half of it's so moronic? I mean, you know what I mean? It's just
sure.
So talkable because it's like, and I have a Red Sox one for you coming up next hour as well.
Okay, good.
That had my head spinning.
Okay, good.
But boy, he loves Westbrook and he loves a triple double, doesn't he?
I shouldn't say hate the triple double. I don't hate it, but I find it to be one of the most, you know, overrated stats in sports.
Here's Bruce in Weathersfield. Hi, Bruce.
Hey, guys. Steven was bullied by Giannis. Big Baines at center and Horford together. You win game one, you lose game two. You took back home court by going big. Stevens backed down after one loss, went small, and lost three to the bigger Bucks. And what you guys said, I also think that Horford said, screw this, I don't want to play center. And that helped him leave. Thanks.
Huh. Is that really what happened? Did Baines see his minutes go down games two through four? Is that really what happened?
No, I think they did drop. I mean, I got to go back and look. But I also think there might have been a game and they were getting a foul trouble or something. But in any case, look, they couldn't handle Giannis. They couldn't handle him.
No, but how much of that's on the coach, I guess, is what the caller's implying and maybe is Horford implying?
I think it's more personnel than anything else. I do. I just think, you know, they need bigger bodies that can protect the paint, and they didn't have enough of those.
Dan in Boston joins us on the Celts. Hi, Daniel.
Hey, real quick, if Maz and Murray did what I think they did, you guys need to do a special off-air show, number one. Number two, you cannot enter or start the season with both Hayward, Tatum, and Brown. You have to trade one of them, and I find it hard to believe that there wouldn't be a market for Gordon Hayward, especially after this offseason that just happened. And if Brad Stevens can't...
Well, hold on. Why would there be a market for him? Damaged goods with a huge contract? Like, I don't understand. Where's that market?
Well, maybe if there isn't one, then I think you have to trade Brown. But I would definitely try to trade Hayward first. But let's say that you can trade Hayward. If Brad Stevens can't make this work without Gordon Hayward. He's expendable too. The Cavs won the finals with Tyronn Lue. The coach doesn't really matter.
Okay, so you're preaching to the choir on that overall to us. But the issue with Tatum, Brown, and Hayward still exists.
Yep, it's still there. Again, essentially three guys for two spots. Essentially. And could you play all three at the same? Probably. I mean, you know, but I still think it comes down to shots and touches and all of that, and you still have the same problem. So, like, I want to see how that one gets shaken out. Not to mention the fact that you have to add in the variable now of all these contracts getting thrown out to these young guys, and Jaylen Brown's due for one. You're going to pay him some astronomical amount of money?
I mean, how does Ben Simmons get the contract that he just got?
I don't know.
Talk about a guy that can't shoot.
Mm-hmm.
I mean,
scary, right?
And I mean, you know, Simmons' first overall pick, Brown was third. I mean, that's a little bit different, but not really. So, yeah, no, that's scary. And again, how does a coach handle all that? How does the young players who's going for that contract handle his minutes or reduce? I mean, that thing that was there for them at the beginning of last year is still there, I think. Trey in Boston, what do you got?
Hey, so my thing is, right, how come when Ray Allen left from Miami Heat, from the Celtics to the Miami Heat, right, he got so much backlash, but I don't hear anybody going at Horford. Like, he literally did the exact same thing, even worse. Like, he left the team when they were actually rising. Yeah, they lost Kyrie, but, like, is nobody going to question why he left to a rival that you guys went to? Like, I mean, I don't get it.
Okay, I think people do. I don't know.
LeBron factor more than anything else. It was because he was going to join forces with LeBron James that everybody got so butthurt.
You're saying
it.
Ray Allen.
Yeah.
And Kyrie is going to get eviscerated. He didn't go join LeBron. I don't know. The way I can only tell you the way I look at it is when I look at Horford deciding to leave, I say, oh, what's wrong with the Celtics? Like, I can look at Kyrie and say, there's something wrong with that dude. Okay? No problem. And Ray Allen, I understand why he did that. There's something wrong with that dude, too. And he wanted to
mercurial
chase a ring. And, okay, he was sort of a pill himself. Horford, class act, everything you stand for. And he didn't want to be here? Like, I don't look at Horford. I look at you and say, what's not right here that you can't keep a guy like that who should be perfect for you? That's sort of the way I look at that one.
I think it's got everything to do with Horford's makeup, his character, and his personality. The guy's as airtight as it gets. I mean, it's hard to find guys that are more professional than Al Horford.
Okay, again, Reentry Tuesday here for Maz and Murray, who were off yesterday, so we haven't gotten to a bunch of stuff. We started with football, the 18-game schedule, some NFL coaching rankings. Do you think the Pats are going to win another championship in the next 3 years? That was a prediction by someone online, so we discussed all that. We've just done some hoops with Bob Ryan and you. Let's get to the Red Sox. Let's get to Maz's Boston Red Sox.
Ooh, let's.
Who remain in the hunt firmly in the pennant race here as, a new guy's going to pitch tonight as well. We'll get to all these things with Maz. 90 seconds, no commercials, and right back.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.